Thank you, Madam Clerk. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the September 17th meeting of the San Luis Obispo County Board of Supervisors. As we convene, I will remind folks, if you do need assistance in hearing the proceedings in chamber here, we do have hearing-assisted devices at both ends of the dais for your use. And with that, if you would please rise and follow me with the Pledge of Allegiance.
What?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Ladies and gentlemen, the flags at county buildings are flying at half staff today in memory of the folks who lost their lives and who were injured in the tragic events at the Navy Yard in Washington, D.C. And with that, I'd like to offer a moment of silence in memory of those people and of all whose lives have been touched by senseless violence at the hands of others. Thank you very much. With that, Madam Clerk, would you read changes to today's agenda, please?
Amendment number one to the September 17th, 2013 board agenda. Added item to board business, request to approve SB 81 state construction agreements and funding certificates for the Juvenile Hall expansion project, including the state project delivery and construction agreement, the Board of State and Community Corrections Construction Agreement, the Certificate for County Cash Match Funding, and the Certificate for Other County Funding to allow the project to move forward through the state lease bond process. Requirements of the Brown Act have been satisfied as this notice was posted prior to the 72-hour noticing requirement.
Thank you very much. This Let me ask staff. This is added as an item of board business, as opposed to a consent item.
The item on the juvenile hall.
Yeah,
I thought that was consent.
I thought it was as well. It's just that the core agenda says board business. It is consent. Okay, very good. We'll add that to consent. I do have three requests to speak on consent, and would ask that requests to speak on general public comment, which comes up in a little bit, be brought to the dais before that item is opened. On consent, we'll start, please, with Nikki Schmidt, followed by Teresa Andrews-Herleman.
Good morning. I'm Nikki Schmidt of County Administrative Office. I am commenting on item three. Because I'm getting old, I thought I had put in the exhibit, Exhibit A, and I had not, so I provided a new page 19 of 17 to the clerk.
All right. Thank you very much, Ms. Schmidt. Ms. Andrews-Herleman, followed by Eric Greening.
Good morning. Teresa Andrews-Herleman, County Auditor Controller's Office. For item four of the consent agenda, there's a change to the header of attachment one. The resolution we are amending is 2013-148 instead of 2012-161.
Very good. Thank you very much. And the clerk has all the necessary information on that. And finally, Mr. Greening.
Good morning. I am Eric Greening, and I'm speaking on item two, which is the state-local partnership agreement with Arts Obispo. And I just want to thank you for your ongoing support of Arts Obispo. Even when the state has fallen short, you have come through. And I would like to remind you that the middle two weekends in October will be a chance to meet the local artists in each of your districts because it will be open studios weekends. And even if you happen to be visiting other districts for events like Pioneer Days or Colony Days, you can meet the artists in those communities as well as part of your enjoyment of the festivities. We have a very robust arts community. And not only is it a good time to meet people, if you belong to any religious or secular tradition which gives gifts in upcoming months, the best gifts to give, either to local people or to people from elsewhere who want to know about our local area, the best gifts to give are art by local artists, recordings by local musicians, books by local authors, tickets to local performances. We have a robust arts community that can become even more robust with that kind of tangible appreciation. And they serve us by giving us not only a sustainable economic base, because they don't have a corporate headquarters that's suddenly going to pull them all to some low-wage country. They are here among us, buying their art supplies and living their lives. But in addition, you are helping support a tremendous spirit of place that comes from the generation of culture that is local as well as being of international renown. So, again, thank you for supporting Arts Obispo. And is this the time I should comment on presentation items, or should I file a separate slip?
Either way, if you have a short comment on presentations, why don't you do it now? And we
well, I would just like to thank Sammy. I realize he probably got out of a very dried-up stream, and I do look forward to, if I'm back from Sacramento from a state lands commission, I definitely look forward to joining the fun in Atascadero Creek. But one word to the wise, something that's coming soon, if we get rain, and I hope we do, is the phenomenon known as first flush. And I ask you, some of the cleanup we can do picking up solid objects, but some of the cleanup you can't just pick up, because it is all of the oil accumulated from dry months coming off the pavement into the streams at once. And we need to grapple with this as an issue. And I would like to see something on the agenda about how we're going to deal with the upcoming first flush, because we want it to rain, but we don't want it to poison Sammy. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Greening, for your exceptional efficiency in a three-minute comment. With that, we'll close public comment on the consent agenda and bring it back to the board. I'll ask colleagues if they have items to pull. Ms. Arnold?
No.
Mr. Meacham? Mr. Hill?
None, sir.
Nor do I, so I would entertain a motion on the amended consent agenda.
So moved.
Second.
Thank you, Mr. Hill. Thank you, Ms. Arnold. And with that, a roll call vote, please.
Will that be including the added item on consent?
As amended, both with the core agenda and the comments today.
Okay. Mr. Meacham?
Yes, ma'am.
Ms. Arnold?
Yes.
Mr. Hill?
Yes.
And Mr. Gibson?
Yes. With that, would go ahead and entertain a motion on our presentation calendar, which is the next item.
Second.
Thank you, Mr. Meacham and Mr. Hill. And another roll call vote, please.
Mr. Meacham?
Yes, ma'am.
Mr. Hill?
Yes.
Ms. Arnold?
Yes.
And Mr. Gibson?
Yes. I'm going to do just a quick switch here because I, too, got a little bit forgetful today and forgot to bring the paper copies of the resolutions to be presented. So what I'm going to do is switch the order and go with the resolution proclaiming October 2013 as Energy Awareness Month in San Luis Obispo County. And I can read
really?
That. Well, I want to be able to present Sammy with
Sammy
a paper.
Sammy's not happy.
You know, Sammy's just going to have to understand that county government sometimes is has to be flexible here. But if I could have Trevor Keith and anyone else who's part of Energy Month, if you all are ready, I at least have the text of the resolution. And Trevor, if you'd like to come to the lectern, I'll read the resolution. It's a resolution proclaiming October 2013 as Energy Awareness Month in San Luis Obispo County. Whereas in 2012, the San Luis Obispo County Energy Watch Partnership, a joint partnership of the County of San Luis Obispo, the City of San Luis Obispo, the City of Atascadero, Paso Robles, Arroyo Grande, Grover Beach, Pismo Beach, and Morro Bay, Pacific Gas and Electric Company, Southern California Gas Company, and the Economic Vitality Corporation, with the assistance of local agencies, including the Community Action Partnership of San Luis Obispo, the San Luis Obispo County Air Pollution Control District, worked with the County Board of Supervisors to recognize the value of energy efficiency in reducing the energy usage to save residents, businesses, and government money on their utility bills, to improve indoor comfort and air quality, and to limit greenhouse gas emissions, and named October as Energy Awareness Month.
And whereas October was designated as National Energy Awareness Month by presidential proclamation in 2009 to, quote, recognize contributions of individuals, organizations, and companies that are committed to advancing energy innovation and efficiency, and to promote the importance of a clean energy economy to our nation. And whereas in 2012, the county completed an energy usage benchmarking report for all of its municipal facilities, identified 11 county municipal buildings that qualify for ENERGY STAR certification, and set goals and next steps for energy efficiency and improvements. And whereas the County of San Luis Obispo supports an ongoing commitment for sustainable energy practices and efforts to reduce greenhouse gas emissions through the use of best practices, policies, and programs, and will continue to provide leadership and guidance in promoting, facilitating, and instituting such practices in the region. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Board of Supervisors does hereby proclaim October 2013 as Energy Awareness Month in San Luis Obispo County.
If you need if you want to do a photo op, you're
sure.
Welcome.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you. Good poor Sammy back there.
Yeah, I know. He's clapping. I think he's applauding.
One, two, three. There we go.
Starts thrashing on the floor.
Then I'm gonna.
Thank
right.
You.
Energy team. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
All right. Excellent. The shirt's reading boldly across the front, Energy Champion. Mr. Keith.
Thank you, Chairman Gibson, Supervisors. Again, my name is Trevor Keith, and I work in the Planning and Building Department, where I oversee the Energy Watch Partnership for San Luis Obispo County. I'm here with several other organizations that I would like to thank for collaborating on Energy Awareness Month this year. Those organizations include SLO County Air Pollution Control District, Cuesta Sustainability Resource Center, the United States Green Building Council, the Central Coast Chapter, the Central Coast Clean Cities Coalition, Pacific Gas and Electric, Southern California Gas Company, Community Action Partnership of San Luis Obispo, First Solar, Mid-American Solar, NRG Solar, and SunPower. I would just like to highlight the energy event, which will take place on October 5th at Cuesta College. The day will begin at 8:30 in the morning with a 5K energy run and kids fun dashes for different age groups. It will end at 1 p.m. with a performance by a local favorite environmental rap superhero, Mr. Eco. Through the day, kids can enjoy hands-on energy projects, including building Lego green cities, making a TikTok potato clock, build solar toys, and listen to local band, the Bucket Busters, jump in a bounce house, all while the adults can collect resources about energy efficiency, view a green car show, and learn about green building. I just want to pass on to Aaron to talk about the APCD's standpoint.
Good morning. Erin Arlen-Janay with the San Luis Obispo County Air Pollution Control District. Thank you for taking the time to recognize Energy Awareness Month. And we've been putting a lot of work in with the coalition. We have a really strong coalition. We're excited this year to highlight energy efficiency measures that reduce our overall energy use while at the same time reducing costs to residents. So that's always a great opportunity. And meanwhile, reducing air pollution. So we have a very full day on the 5th over at Cuesta College. It starts out with an energy run. And thanks to Supervisor Gibson for donation to Oranges. They will be very satisfied runners when they're done. And we have free kids dashes. This is something that isn't offered very often at local runs. We have four different age groups for kids on the track, and all participants will be able to receive awards and T-shirts as well. So we definitely recommend, if you have an opportunity, bring the kids out, the grandkids out, and as you heard from Trevor, you go from a fun run over to the TikTok potato clock and the Lego Green City. It's just a really fun opportunity. Something that we wanted to do this year is really focus on kid-friendly events. So thank you very much, and we look forward to seeing you on the 5th.
Thank you, Aaron. So, can you wrap that up?
Lastly, Matthew Green with the Cuesta Sustainability Center was not able to make it this morning, so I wanted to extend an invitation for you to come out. We'll have a presentation for the Sustainability Center, kind of the unveiling around 1 o'clock at the event. So I know he wanted to extend an invitation to you to come out. Lastly, please visit our website. It's slowenergymonth.org. And again, we thank you. And wear your Energy Champion t-shirts into the community and be the energy champions we know you are. Thank you for your support.
Thank you, Mr. Keith. I appreciate the extraordinary energy of all involved and your enthusiasm in putting together what sounds like an entertaining and an educational event. We'll look forward to participating in as much of that as I can. With that, our second presentation recognizes Creek Day in San Luis Obispo County, and I've asked Supervisor Hill to read
our favorite VIP is swimming down the aisle right now. Sammy and Sarah Paddock and other helpers with Sammy. It's my pleasure to read our proclamation as proclaiming September 21st as San Luis Obispo Creek Day. Whereas San Luis Obispo County Creek Day has become an annual event providing an opportunity to recognize the need to protect ecological health and beauty of San Luis Obispo County. Whereas plastic litter such as food wrappers, beverage containers, and cigarettes comprise 60 to 80% of the debris found in the annual San Luis Obispo County Creek Day, are the majority of trash found in our watersheds and shorelines and have repercussions on economic activities, particularly tourism. And whereas San Luis Obispo County Creek Day is a way for all residents of San Luis Obispo to join in the effort to protect our beautiful coastlines by removing litter from our creeks, rivers, streets, parks, and neighborhoods, thereby reducing the harmful impacts caused by both litter and urban runoff, enhancing the natural beauty of our watersheds. Whereas members of the San Luis Obispo Creek Day Planning Committee, including the City of San Luis Obispo, Tascadero Mutual Water Company, Central Coast Salmon Enhancement, County of San Luis Obispo, Land Conservancy of SLO, Cal Poly, Templeton Community Service District, and Upper Salinas Los Tablas RCD have come together to organize this county-wide event. Now, therefore, be it resolved and ordered that the Board of Supervisors does hereby proclaim Saturday, September 21st, 2013, as San Luis Obispo County Creek Day, and encourages everyone to participate to promote a healthy and productive environment for the benefit of the people of San Luis Obispo County. And I'll come down and present this to Sammy.
All right.
Want to help Sammy?
Sure. Yeah. Supervisor Hill. we got to center up here.
Help us be killed.
That's right. Hey. The gentleman.
Supervisor's food.
Yeah. All right. You know, once he sees a mascot, Supervisor Hill forgets about all of us. So.
Sammy's aging well.
My name is Sarah Paddock. Appropriately, I'm with Salmon Enhancement, so we're used to helping our local fish around here. Thank you so much for allowing us to come today and share Creek Day. We really want to get the word out, invite the community to come out this Saturday. We have locations throughout San Luis Obispo County. You can visit creekday.org to find the location nearest you. It really is a critical event every year that we get out and we remove the debris and litter from our creek systems to allow for safe water passage and, of course, safe passage of our steelhead trout. So thank you so much for having us today.
Great. Always our pleasure. This is a long-standing, and I forget whether it was listed in the resolution, but it must be close to 27, 28 years. I remember we did the 25th one not too long ago.
Yeah, it's definitely right in there, 27, 28, that we've been hosting this, and we're very appreciative of the Board of Supervisors for you guys' support in helping to get the word out and provide some of the means necessary to remove the litter from our stream system.
Absolutely. Our pleasure. It goes countywide now.
We always make sure to keep Smokey the Bear out of the chambers.
That's right.
See, no one wants.
Mascot management. So with that, we thank you, and we'll wish you a good weekend on that.
Thank you.
Good. We come then to general public comment items not on the agenda. I have 11 slips in hand. I don't know if Madam Clerk can find any others in the basket, but we'll go with those that are at the dais right now. We'll start with Martha Golden, followed by Laura Mordaunt.
Good morning. The Covered California, the Affordable Care Act, is coming to our community very soon. In fact, January 1 is the date when everybody needs to be enrolled in some kind of health care, and October 1st is the date when open enrollment starts. So if you are confused, if you don't know whether you need to be covered or how to be covered, if you are under the age of 65 and don't have health insurance, are not covered by an employer plan, have any questions about the new Covered California, the insurance exchange and the California version of the Affordable Care Act, please come to an open forum, free, on Sunday, September the 22nd, at the South Bay Community Center in Los Osos. That's right off Los Osos Valley Road at Palisades in Los Osos. It is going to feature as the panelists on the statewide view of the act, our own Senator Bill Monning, on focus in San Luis Obispo County, Supervisor Bruce Gibson, local views, how to, what it's all about for the individual, although they can't plan for you, local health reform expert Joel Derringer, and if you need to access information on a public internet facility, our own librarian, Joe Lorenzi, the director of the Los Osos Public Library, is going to assist you in how to access free public information via the internet, even if you're not computer savvy and even if you don't have your own internet access at home. So please plan to attend. Bring your questions. There will be a question and answer period, although nobody will plan for you individually. It will be general questions that the panelists will try to answer for you. Come on Sunday, September the 22nd, commencing at 1 o'clock until 3:30 in the afternoon, free, and there will even be refreshments. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Golden, and appreciate those who put on the Margaret Mehring Forum here. You have in Senator Monning one of the state legislator experts on the coming of health care reform, and I know Joel Derringer has a lot of experience in these issues. So we'll look forward to an informative afternoon. Ms. Mordaunt, followed by Eric Greening.
Yes, I'd like to recommend that we have awareness. We've had awareness month for energy. I think we should have an awareness month for how ICLEI is interfering with our county. And or at least that's my opinion. So I'd like to suggest that we not only have an awareness, but we do that specifically by being on the agenda. I know that that was requested recently, and the comment was, why? Just go look it up. Well, the reason for that is information that we are seeking. We can go and read all we want, but we want to know what our public officials are thinking and doing on this subject, because it is affecting policy. It is affecting everything that is coming before the diocese, as you say. And we, as citizens, need to understand the intention of these associations and the intention that is happening. The process began long ago, And it's time because it's affecting everything in our lives. So the practices are written, yes, but I want to know why and how in our public officials and in planning and how this is at Cal Poly. So this has become a shift. And I don't think the average person out there knows this. They aren't aware of it, and its tremendous impact and long-standing process of incrementalism, piece by piece. And coming to any one of your offices and discussing this is not appropriate for the citizens of our county. Our county citizens deserve this being sunshined, discussed and debated, and allow comment. Without that, you really have no transparency, if that word even means anything anymore, unless that has also been turned upside down like the word smart. Smart is no longer smart. Good is no longer good. So we need to understand the details, not this fluff on the surface. So I expect this to be agendized. And if one of your board members asks for that, what is it? Where is it written that it should be ignored?
Mr. Greening, followed by Elsa Dawson.
Thank you. Good morning again. I am Eric Greening, and before I get to my main topic, I will just say that I think the greatest international threat to our local, state, and federal sovereignty right now, imminent, is the Trans-Pacific Partnership with the Obama administration is going to try to cram through Congress in a high-speed way sometime this fall. And I would urge you to put flat-out opposition to this in your legislative platform in time. There's also going to be a transatlantic one probably close on its heels and probably just as bad. I won't go into all the details right now because I do have another very urgent matter to put before you, which is this week, this Friday in Sacramento, the State Lands Commission has before it a negative declaration, which their staff is urging them to certify, to be a blanket permit for seismic blasting of the ocean, of ocean blasting. That's so-called low energy, but the decibel count can get over 200, and the mitigations are laughable. Having an observer in the boat when the sound waves are being propagated straight down is not a mitigation of any sort. In any event, because they have the chutzpah to be putting a negative declaration forward, this is easy pickings. And I just am alerting the county because we're going to need someone to challenge this atrocity if it actually gets through the State Lands Commission. Legally, it's easy pickings. A negative declaration can only hold up if there is no significant impact on the environment, and there's just no way they can make that claim. And even though this is a statewide plan, it's not an individual project like the PG&E one that the Coastal Commission shot down. This is a statewide blanket permit that we wouldn't even know who was coming to use it because there would be no further process. But their estimate is that 56% of the statewide use of it would be in our central coast. And, of course, some of this would be involved with the search for oil. We don't know what all it would be involved with because when they describe what it would be used for, it's including but not limited to. The whole thing is full of shoddy weasel words, and some of us who are traveling to Sacramento are going to try to put a stop to it there, but if we don't succeed, we hope that someone will be ready to issue the legal challenge that will need to be issued. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Greening. Ms. Dawson, followed by Julie Tacker.
Good morning, Elsa Dawson. I agree with Mr. Greening about the transatlantic partnership. That is very dangerous. But this morning, as I hear the chair leading the Pledge of Allegiance to the United States, and then I simultaneously consider his willing affirmation of an association with ICLEI, an organization which most certainly is not consistent with or supportive of our United States Constitution and the principles of individual rights and freedom and self-government. I just cannot find where those two worldviews intersect. The Global Central Planners of ICLEI have written in their blueprint for sustainable living that they have all the solutions for all the coming disasters. They just need to evoke the right crises, real or computer-generated, which lead to unproven conclusions, like the Arctic ice cap, so that the government can supply the solutions, solutions which ultimately give government more power and us fewer freedoms, if any. But back to San Luis Obispo. Clearly, when Supervisor Arnold asked for only efficient solution for the suspicions that your signatures and the ICLEI-type language you and staff use and have that has generated a growing concern in many, an increased number of citizens. So once again, I respectfully request that the subject of ICLEI be agendized and with special attention to your commitment to it. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Dawson. Ms. Tacker, followed by Ben DeFada.
Good morning. I'm Julie Tacker from Los Osos. I live in District 2. And, you know, something Mrs. Dawson just said, I reflect on last meeting where Supervisor Arnold asked for an update about the dewatering going on in Los Osos, and it looks like that's going to happen today. Mr. Ogren's here with a map of our basin. So ideally, I'd like to speak after him because he hasn't been agendized, but I'll go ahead. But pay very special attention to what he says. And what he doesn't say is what Mr. Gibson has said in the past, that dewatering water is trash water. Last week, the Los Osos Community Services District Board of Directors sent a letter to the Regional Water Quality Control Board asking them to force the Public Works Department to cease this disposal of dewatering water to the bay. I'm here to ask you to willingly cease this disposal to the bay. The Los Osos Waste Water Project. Now it is aptly named. It's wasting water, Mr. Gibson. You are wasting a precious resource. And how precious is that resource? People in your community are trucking water to the avocado orchards in Morro Bay. The Lopez Dam is sending extra releases into the creek for agricultural use. Sammy the Steelhead is thirsty. He's blind as he finds his way to the dais. City of Paso Robles is dumping expensive Nacimiento water into the Salinas River. That's how precious this resource is. And in Los Osos, where our basin is at the highest level of severity, our wells are impacted with ocean water. Water from the ocean cannot be drank. We're throwing away water that could be used in another capacity. It could be used to exercise the Broderson site, which is a key component to the water reinvestment program that is anticipated by the water recycling project that the regional board now calls our project. Beneficial reuse. No ocean outfall. We have bay disposal.
Thank
that
you, Ms.
is
Acker.
Ocean outfall.
Mr. DeFatta, followed by Lindy Owen.
I'd like to add my stuff to hers. Good morning, Board, Sheriff, and public. I am Ben DeFatta from the noisy and dusty village of Los Osos. I see where the construction company HGR is in line for a contract extension they don't deserve. Last June, they were hired to manage the construction of the treatment plant at the Jacomazzi sewer plant site, and to date, nothing has been done. This is the construction manager oversight that should have seen to it that the construction schedule was to be arranged in the proper order to prevent any dumping of dewatering water from the trenches into the bay. Well, they didn't, and in this case, the bay suffers, and only the contractor benefits from it, thus increasing his profits. Now HDR is asking for an extension. The Brodesson recharge site should have been completed before any dewatering was going to happen. Well, I believe it was not completed on purpose because it's cheaper to dump it into the bay. Was this oversight done on purpose? Well, Howard Jarvis said it 40 years ago, that this county was the most corrupt county in the state. The question is it still? Heck, I don't even live in a construction zone, yet I have a car that needs a wash job every 2 days. Stacks of heavy metal shoring used for shoring the trenches all lined up across the street with noise blaring from big tractors backing up and a noise from the metal lids needed to cover the trenches from cars and trucks going over it. Them day and night, a vacuum or low pressure system that would have cost us $50 to $100 million less. Also, with these systems of dewatering into the bay and the causing of the low-income residents to move, would not have needed to happen with either one of these systems. Can any of you think of a government project that did not come in for less? And I see you have. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. DeFatta. Ms. Owen, followed by Richard Margetson.
Good morning. Lindy Owen from Los Osos. We'll be looking at some pictures of how the project has decided to leave the right-of-ways in Los Osos. And I gave you the information last week to tell you that this is legally not allowed. It needs to be repaired. This isn't across the street from me, and this is how they fixed it. When Sammy the Seal came and spoke with you, this is what he's talking about. This needs to be cleaned up. This will be on streets, and it will be in the bay eventually when in 2 months we get hopefully some rain. The project has said they are not going to address it except for by digging out some excess dirt, but there will be no compaction and no gravel put in it. So I found another interesting thing when you read the standard general conditions of the construction contract between the two contractors. There's a very interesting kind of scary note, and this is why I have asked for oversight to be brought in, because apparently there is no oversight. This line says contractor should give all notices, blah, 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 blah. And then it says neither the owner, which is the county, nor the engineer, which is the county, or HDR, shall be responsible for monitoring the contractor's compliance with any laws or regulations. Now, where do we go when I go talk to Michelle Hauser and say, what is going to be done with this? And she says, well, we'll scoop some of the dirt out. And I come here before you. I talk to my supervisor. I've sent him the notice. Absolutely no response. They are not going to do anything. Brodesson is supposed to be taking the dewatering. What has happened here? Nobody is forcing the county to live up to the project design, which was to take the dewatering and start testing it up on the Brodesson leach field site. We spent millions of dollars. It's 7 acres of huge mess, destroyed the environment. I'm begging you to bring in some oversight, and neither of these two gentlemen are interested in it, but I'm aiming on you two, because some common sense has got to come into this project. This county will be liable for if this thing goes belly up and goes bankrupt, which I can see coming our direction. At this point, 50% of the project is supposedly the pipes are laid, but we've used up about 2/3 of the budget. So where do you think it's going while we get into the hardest part of the project, laying pipes in high groundwater? Please get some oversight. This is a flim-flam project, and somebody has to come in and decide what's going wrong. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Owen. Mr. Margetson, followed by Mike Brown.
Richard Margetson. Two things today. First of all, thank you, Ms. Arnold, for advocating for some transparency here in these chambers with respect to Los Osos. You know, I appreciate that. I've already made contact with County Council, and we're going to be meeting on our issue in the next couple of days, I think. And, I mean, it sounds like. But, you know, the status quo on Los Osos is spin it in the background. And, Mr. Meacham, I, with all due respect, to state during that discussion that if you have any issues, you have no problem just discussing them with staff. Staff's giving you their perspective, their beliefs, protecting themselves in certain circumstances. I thought maybe you learned from the rates and charges ordinance after your discussion with Pablo, which has now been proven to be completely false information, with that ordinance having to come back before the wastewater project goes online, that you might have learned from that that maybe you need to hear from both sides in a public forum. Mr. Gibson's not going to let that happen. He's got Mr. Ogren sitting in the audience. He's waiting for all of us to finish. And Mr. Ogren's going to get up and spin it, and there's going to be no rebuttal opportunity. No rebuttal opportunity, because they speak last. On another note, one of the first things Mr. Gibson was so proud of accomplishing when he was first elected was the two retrofit ordinances for Los Osos. Retrofit to build outside the prohibition zone and the retrofit upon sale ordinance. Those two ordinances right now are totally inconsistent with the requirements of the wastewater project for retrofitting.
Ms. Andrea Seastrand requested that the board agendize the issue of the resilient community program of ICLEI. A visit to ICLEI's website will show that Supervisors Hill and Gibson are inaugural signatories to something called the Resilient Communities Agreement. The word agreement. And it's a pledge to do certain things to resist natural disasters, which ICLEI attributes to climate change. And it's quite an extensive document. We would request that you do agendize this matter, that you present what the Resilient Communities Agreement is about, that you include the background on ICLEI, including its Charter 1.7 principles, which I think are very informative about what that organization is about, that the signing supervisors give us a set of examples of how they would plan to carry out the agreement principles in affecting policy on land use and transportation and so forth in this community, if it's different from what's already here. Go over the call to action principles that are included in that document and what the paths to resistance mean. Now, this whole resilient communities thing is actually kind of an admission by ICLEI that its whole program of greenhouse gas reduction has fallen flat. Of course, the biggest countries in the world, India and China, have blown them off, are not interested in this, are industrializing as fast as they can. And you got many communities in the United States that have woken up and are not interested in this. So this is really an effort for ICLEI to recamouflage itself as something else. And given the promise, and given that it's an agreement, that it's policy-laden, You really should put it on the agenda. Have a full, public, open discussion with citizen participation and all these things that people advocate.
Thank you, Mr. Brown. Mr. Veek, followed by Bill Pelfrey.
Edward Veek, Atascadero. The year before the United Nations was being adopted, the Club of Rome published the first global revolution stating, "In searching for a new enemy to unite us, we came up with the idea that pollution, the threat of global warming and water shortages, famine, and the like would fit the bill. In spite of their totality and in their interactions, these phenomena do constitute a common threat which demands the solidarity of all peoples." That's true. "All these dangers are caused by human intervention," was their idea. "It is only through changed attitudes and behavior that they can be overcome. The real enemy then, as stated by the Club of Rome, is humanity itself. Humanity itself is the real enemy, according to the Club of Rome." Then the Agenda 21 was adopted by the 1992 UN Rio Summit. In a nutshell, the plan calls for governments to take control of all land use and not leave any of the decision-making in the hands of the private property owners. It is assumed that people are not good stewards of their land and that the government will do a better job if they are in control. Individual rights in general are to give way to the needs of communities as determined by the governing body. Another program called the Wildlands Project spells out how most of the land is to be set aside for non-humans. Now comes ICLEI. It has been stated before, and I've done it myself, that ICLEI is an agency put out by the United Nations as the enforcer of this project. ICLEI, International Council for Local Environmental Issues. It is an arm of the United Nations whose goal is to implement laws and regulations that move private property ownership to government ownership. That is the socialist way. There are two supervisors, Mr. Hill and Mr. Gibson, that have signed on with the ICLEI process. I believe that we should have a hearing to find out what they've signed us up for in the in the inaugural signatures agreeing to his objectives, Mr. Hill and Gibson.
Smart growth called the Model Cities Program. I've challenged everything on it because I've lived what you're doing or trying to do. It's never worked, ever. Social engineering just doesn't work. Now you've come down to this ICLEI thing, and when a board member's asked to know more about it, you, Mr. Gibson, lecture and wag your finger and pull at your mustache. Mr. Hill looks over to you for guidance, and you go against her just because she wants to know more. We want to know more. It is our right to know more. You, as board members of the supervisory board and as members of ICLEI, are in conflict of interest. How can you be loyal to one and loyal to the other, where one is to take property rights, to take water rights? The other says, we, the people, have the rights. You were elected to help us in our daily lives and bring something that is not so confusing out of chaos. Instead, you're adding to it. Have you violated your oath? You pledged an oath when you took your office to the Constitution. Now you're saying people don't have the rights to property. You're also saying they don't have the rights to water. Where are your loyalties? Or is it just that you're so far involved with this, you can't see the forest for the trees? Now, there's a bunch of people who think smart growth is the only thing. It's not. How about the global warming? If you've been watching the newspaper articles, how about the one that says the ice cap's grown by 60% just this year? There's 20 people up there in yachts who believed in the smart growth or the global warming thing, and we're going to make the trip. Well, their yachts are locked in the ice. The Canadians need to get them. Let me give you one other thing. Last time the environmental movement tried to do something like this, it was in the 70s. I'm going to read you number 13 from Earth Day 1970. The world has been chilling sharply for about 20 years. If present trends continue, the world will be about 4 degrees colder for the global mean temperatures in 1990, but 11 degrees colder in the year 2000. This is about twice what it would take to put us into an ice age. That's Kenneth Watt. That's one of your people. Now you've latched onto something else in order to control, which you should be assisting. Think about it. Where are your loyalties?
Thank you, Mr. Pelfrey. That was our last request to speak in general public comment, so we'll close public comment in response to one item that Mr. Margetson brought up. The retrofit to build ordinance in Los Osos will be coming back to the board. I've had discussions with staff. In short, with the prohibition zone, which is a subset of the wider Los Osos groundwater basin, the prohibition zone now requiring mandatory retrofit to a conservation goal of 50 gallons per capita per day inside use. The planning department is no longer accepting retrofits from inside the prohibition zone on projects that are proposed outside the prohibition zone but over the groundwater basin. It takes easier to have a chalkboard maybe to describe that. But in my discussions with staff, which I've had over the last couple weeks, it's very clear we need to bring this back to make it quite clear how that program is going to work and what's going to happen as we move forward with the groundwater management of that basin. So as of right now, again, the mandatory required retrofits from inside the prohibition zone are not being allowed as credits for projects that wish to build outside the prohibition zone. So with that, I would, Ms. Arnold, you had a light on?
Thank
yes.
You. Uh-huh. I'd like to comment on some of the speakers as well. Mrs. Golden, I think she might have gone by now, but I appreciate her being here to let us know about the event on Sunday, talking about the Affordable Health Care Act and so forth. We've had staff presentations that have let us know. There'll be quite a few changes and 20,000 or so folks in our county that will be affected by the changes. So I think we all appreciate these public forums, and I just wanted to give a shout-out to one more that will be taking place on the 25th of September here in the board chambers. The Latino Outreach Council will be hosting a similar forum. I believe Senator Monning will be participating as well in this one, and it'll be in the evening at 6 o'clock, so it'll be another opportunity for folks to find out more about the changes coming forward. We had several speakers asking about the ICLEI policy movement, and it's the second week in a row. Last week I asked if we might not be able to agendize, possibly have someone from the organization of ICLEI, and it's not about the two supervisors. I believe that any of us hope to hold on to our ability as private citizens to join with any organization or movement that we, Quality Control Board and the supervisor of the district, meeting with the regional board. This week I'm hearing from folks that the Los Osos CSD has sent letters asking for some more information or whatever. I agree with one of the speakers that said, sure, us as supervisors, we can go ask staff. We can have meetings up in our office. But the fact that you're here every week, you're asking, I would like these informational sessions to be done in public if we have the time, and it looks like we do, so that you can all hear what's going on at the same time. So is it true we received? I haven't seen a letter from the Los Osos CSD.
Well, Ms. Arnold, let me ask. Did you ask for a staff briefing on either the ICLEI issue or the dewatering issue?
I'm asking for a presentation in public.
I know you're asking for a public presentation, but have you consulted with the expert staff on either the ICLEI issue or the dewatering issue?
No.
All right. Mr. Hill?
Just to follow up, you know, I think one of the important part of the jobs is to understand that people who are pursuing political agendas and are seeking to turn the board meetings into forums to continue to express those political agendas. I mean, I'm not really interested in hearing presentations from you or anyone else about attendance at collab events or Tea Party events, and I think that those probably have a serious amount of public interest. And certainly the language and propaganda we see from them are accusatory and angry and paranoid. And I just don't – I think you need to be able to exercise a certain amount of critical thinking and realize that if you want to turn this into a political circus, that's what you're kind of asking for. That's not the business of the board, just to try to please people who have agendas to attack certain members of the board or certain ideas or political movements that they don't agree with. We certainly don't ask for the opposite of that, and I don't think that that's the proper business of the board, Ms. Arnold. And you know, I think that it's important probably every time to understand whether people who come in small groups, and I'm talking about every issue, not just public comment, but even board business and board hearings, the most difficult thing is to understand whether that small group of people are truly representative of the community's best interests or not, and to respond as if everybody is representing the best interests of the community, pure and simple, I think is not making use of your critical facilities.
May I respond? Thank you, Mr. Hill. This absolutely has nothing to do with a political agenda. It was my understanding that, and I do know, I do read some of this, that at one point our county became members of this organization, ICLEI. We have, these are citizens. They're coming to our public forum, and it's my understanding that we have staff attending. This isn't anything, it's a land use planning and policy situation for me. All I'm asking for on behalf of the citizens that come and ask questions of us is to have our presentation, a 15-minute presentation, in the public forum so we understand. I don't understand why we can't do that. And then as far as my second ask, which was the Los Osos CSD and the Regional Water Quality Control Board, letters coming to the Board of Supervisors, that's not a political agenda. These are just I can ask another question, please, if I might. We've had several speakers over the weeks ask for oversight on the Los Osos project. Before my time, before I got to the board, we had oversight for the Nacimiento project. Am I right? I don't even know where I'm looking on the dice, but I know we're right. So I'm just wondering if that's a common practice, why we might not talk about it or look into it. I don't understand.
Ms. Arnold, if I may respond. You know, Mr. Ogren's been sitting here, and I'm going to ask him to respond on the question of oversight and on the question of the dewatering and the letter that's come from the LOCSD, which he can point out.
That's great.
As while he's getting ready to do that, let me address the question of ICLEI. You speak to, and ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to ask for quiet in the audience while this board discusses these issues. On the matter of ICLEI, the folks who come to speak about ICLEI mm-hmm. are spinning the most outrageous conspiracy theories about the nature of ICLEI and about its relationship to this county and to the United Nations. Things that are, in my mind, not worthy of serious response. I think you would understand that if you would take the time to get a briefing from the planning department as to what this county's intersection with ICLEI has been, which has been a fundamentally important role in working on greenhouse gas reductions, which is part of this county's mission under state law. I think you would see that what we're hearing from the
few questions, first on the question of oversight and the comparison of the Nacimiento project to the Los Osos wastewater project, the oversight is essentially comparable. Both firms have third-party project construction managers, and both projects are being the oversight is consistent. You know, it's third-party construction managers with our staff. One of the public asked a question about took a piece out of a contract document that says the county has something to the extent that has no responsibility over the contractor's compliance with laws and regulations. And obviously we develop these contracts closely with county council, but as one example of why that type of provision is important is that in OSHA compliance. So, for example, the contractor is clearly responsible for OSHA compliance, and we don't assume a legal responsibility on that. if we did assume a legal responsibility over their oversight on OSHA compliance, then we would know that our exposures on the deaths of the individuals on the Nacimiento project would have been significantly higher. That is the contractor's responsibility to make sure that they are providing for safe working conditions, and it's their sole responsibility. So those provisions, which individuals who don't really have the background of construction or public contract law will come up to your board, and they'll take an excerpt out of that and try to assert that then it's some sort of lack of oversight, you know, by the county's project management team. And in fact, it's actually the opposite. It's an extremely dutiful project that requires work with county council in accordance with industry standards and public contract law in order to make sure that we have all of the mechanisms, not just people out there looking at what the contractor is doing, but the contracts that are established consistent with. And so we get people talking up there that'll take a bit or a piece out of a contract and completely misportray what its meaning is, and then they'll also make the personal attacks that I'm going to come up here and spin it in some sort of an, you know, opposite way. So, no, we work these things very closely. There's a lot of people who work on it, and the oversight on this project is it's good. You know, we have a project that has 45 miles of linear pipeline. That's approximately the same linear feet of pipeline that we had on the Nacimiento project, but it's all stuffed into one community. And as a result, there's a lot of work that's being done, and people will come and point to little sand piles or something and try to portray that something drastically wrong is going on with the project, and that's simply not true. Matter of fact is, the vast majority of people in Los Osos have been extremely supportive. They've been very patient, and we very much appreciate the support of the vast majority of people in Los Osos. On the issue of the dewatering itself, I'm just simply going to note that when I look at the LOC's agenda and I look at the staff, they agendized this item and they had no staff report. The letter itself, which I passed out, doesn't have any reference to the environmental impact, the coastal development promise. They just simply say, you know, you should stop the project. Now, I'll note that this is the same CSD that stopped its own project and led to its own bankruptcy. And some of the same individuals who are on that
Margetson,
board,
you may leave the chamber now.
Are now coming up
warned.
And saying that, you know, the regional board should stop.
Mr. Ogren?
When was I warned?
You've been warned a half a dozen times. Please leave the chamber.
Today?
Please leave the chamber.
No.
We're going to take a short adjournment.
Now it's time for you are a bully.
And you may leave as well, Ms. Owen. We have, on many occasions, indicated that outbursts from the audience disrupt this meeting, and it's on the basis of that disruption that we're going to ask you to leave. We're back in session. Mr. Ogren.
So, you know, there's no doubt that dewatering and many of the different aspects of this job are important, and we are meeting and working closely with the regional board on what is occurring on the dewatering. On the issue that it should be brought up to Brodersen immediately, yes, Brodersen is ready to accept it, but pipes have to be put in order to be able to convey that water in Brodersen. And in order to put those pipes in the ground, you have to dig trenches, and you have to do a certain amount of dewatering just to get ready to pump water up to Brodersen. That's exactly what the contractor is doing. On the idea of trucking water, just to, you know, the CSD, again, on an agenda item that had no staff report, and then throw out the idea of trucking water, you know, rough estimates are, you know, you have 50 trucks then moving throughout Los Osos. What are the impacts on air quality on an otherwise already project that's impacting traffic circulation? What's the impact of having, you know, again, 50 water trucks, a truck that could be every 10 minutes, you know, pumping water and moving it? The fact of the matter is, in the CSD's project, the only method of discharge was envisioned was to the bay, and we were the ones who came in and said, look, we think that we can develop some discharges to land, and so it was really the county evolution of the project that addressed this situation better than any other prior situation. But, yeah, there's a lot of details. We're working with the regional board on them and addressing them. Project oversight exists. It's consistent with contracts, and No, we won't be paving those swales. We have been putting a lot of LID features in, low impact development, you know, in order to catch your stormwater and to help enhance the percolation in the groundwater basin.
Okay, that's it for this one. Thanks.
All right. Mr. Peel?
I'll wait.
Ms. Arnold?
So, Pablo, thank you. That's exactly what I was talking about, being able to answer these people's questions in the public session so that not only are their questions answered, but all the people out there listening on their computer and so forth.
They yelled out and had to be ejected. Is that really
Mr. Hill, I will ask you to maintain the same decorum, please.
We were just handed the letter that I was questioning, not having seen it, so now I'm speed reading it. But it is... So the Los Osos Community Services District is an elected body in the area with questions, and I, again, I'm just going to say I appreciate you answering some of these questions. I'll take my time and read this when I go upstairs later, but these are the kinds of things that I think should be. This is an elected body that has concerns, and they've brought them forward to us, and I believe they should be addressed in public. So for me to go ask staff, and Pablo's always great, I'm going to say this in public. Anytime we have questions, I've never been denied a meeting when I have questions in my own office. But to me, this isn't about me in my own office asking questions. What about this letter? This is about another elected body addressing our Board of Supervisors and citizens coming to our meetings addressing us. And I believe the questions should be answered in public.
Well, Ms. Arnold, since this first came up last week, did you take a staff briefing on the question of dewatering or any other aspect of the Los Osos project?
No, okay. I ask for a informational 15 minutes in public.
So had you taken a staff briefing, you would see that the assertions as to the nature of the water being disposed of were completely incorrect. And I would ask Mr. Ogren actually two more questions, one of them whether there's any threat to the drinking water supply of Los Osos as regards the water that is being dewatered from these trenches, because various public commenters have made that assertion, and the LOCSD has made that assertion, and that assertion is completely incorrect. The second I'd ask Mr. Ogren is to exactly what standing the LOCSD has on the matter of the Los Osos Wastewater Project. As you may well know, I know you do, because you were involved in state government, the passage of AB 2701 took that authority from the LOCSD and gave it to the county where we've pursued the project. So with that, Mr. Ogren, if you could give us the short description of what water is being and how it affects the drinking water supply.
Excuse me, Mr. Chairman, point of order if I could.
Sir.
I'm just wondering if this discussion is taking a little bit more out of the context of the agenda. And I guess my point being is that if we're going to do this, wouldn't this be much better in a setting where we actually have the public comment when we go through this? I mean, we're straying way off of where the agenda is.
We do have the ability to respond to public comment. Supervisor Arnold has declined to take staff briefings on a couple of items and declared that she wants it to occur in public. We had Mr. Ogren here. He's got about a three-minute presentation. He can point here and show us this water has nothing to do with the drinking water supply, and I think he can speak very briefly to the LOCSD's involvement in this project. Why don't you just... And there's a button on the... Just circle where the water's coming from.
That's okay, I'm good. So the little circle I drew, you know, is each increment on the access is 50 feet. And the little circle I drew, you know, we're dewatering in the upper portion of the upper portion of the upper portion of the aquifer. You know, it's basically the top 20 feet or so in very confined areas. And, you know, as you can see, in comparison, the cross-section, the blues and the yellows down in the deeper aquifer and the mid-aquifer is where seawater intrusion is occurring. So the pumping activities are not in even close proximity to seawater intrusion, and the pumping activities are not even in close proximity to the wells that are being used for drinking water purposes.
And then as to the standing of the CSD?
AB 2701 addressed that the CSD does not have a standing on the wastewater project.
All right. Thank you. I have a couple more lights on the board. Mr. Hill, Ms. Arnold, and then Mr. Meacham.
well, this distraction. You know, I'm going to appeal to you. This is, if five or six people came every week with political agendas, extreme left political agendas, made wild accusations about you or Supervisor Arnold, published newsletters that were filled with distortions and personal attacks and paranoid conspiracies, and then came here and demanded that they have public board time so that we could air out these things. I wouldn't agree with that. I have a legal and professional manner, and I think that this is a distraction. I think that all you're doing is encouraging animosity and division. I don't really see the use for it. It doesn't matter how softly and nicely you put it, the result is pretty obvious. So I'm just asking that we continue to focus on the things that we do at the Board of Supervisors and try to work together and try to put aside partisan differences as best as we can and put aside some of these other things and work together. Otherwise, this is what we're going to do every Tuesday, and I don't really see the usefulness of it, certainly for the larger public and not certainly at all for the business that we have at hand.
So let me, Ms. Arnold's slide is up next, unless Mr. Meacham would like to respond.
Yeah, I'll respond. I mean, this whole ICLEI thing, and I'll have to admit, I'm a little bit naive in terms of what all this is. What I do in my office is try to pay attention to things that I can do something about, and those are things that I focus on. So when issues like the United Nations or some global effort out there is trying to influence me, it has absolutely no influence on me, basically because I'm looking at what can I do in my district and for this county to try to make it a better place to be. That's where my focus is. I don't want to get into all the political left, right, whatever the case may be. And I have to say that it might not be a very political, popular thing to say, but I take this all the way to the top. I think that that's why we're having so much consternation right now, as you see the First Amendment, the Second Amendment, the Fourth Amendment, the NSA, the IRS, people infringing upon people's lives. So all we have is one little thing that pops up, and that just blows everything up. So I have to agree. We got to get back to the point of what are we doing for the county? What are we doing for the people that live here? What are we doing from our job standpoint? I'll be happy to read ICLEI or whatever. I've read Agenda 21. I'll be happy to read ICLEI. And if there's something in there that I see as being referenced from planning, I'll question that. But I'm not going to spend a lot of my time getting into a political debate about something that I can't do anything about. My job is to try to do my best I can for this county, and that's what I'm going to do. And if you've got a problem with that, my office is open.
Ms. Arnold?
Yes. And I would like to clarify what my intentions are. This isn't political at all for me. When I am trying to respond to the citizens that take the time to come here and address us with questions. I am responding to another, and you're right, I know all about AB 2701 because I was with the Senate or the Assemblyman's office when it was written. This is another elected body that comes out of the community where the project is being implemented. This isn't about my confidence in Pavel. Actually, I got what I wanted today. It was spontaneous and planned, but the people's questions have been answered, and that is all I'm trying to do. People ask us questions week after week after week, and it appears to me they're being ignored. So I am just simply asking that we give the courtesy to all of the people on all of the topics. Last week, I had other requests. I asked for the Mothers of Peace concerns to be addressed publicly, and you all agreed. So hopefully we'll have that little presentation coming along. But I am just simply asking to give more courtesy to the citizens that come and ask questions and want information. And these are the people that physically come to our meetings, but there are many, many more people just listening from work or off their computers or whatever that I'm sure would appreciate the information and don't have access to the staff or our offices. So that's where I'm coming from.
Final comment. This is towards Mr. Greening's comment, and I have to agree with him in terms of taking a look at this seismic issue a little more cautiously. The only thing I ever watch on TV is the History Channel. They had a pretty lengthy documentary on some of the seismic activity that's taken place throughout the world and some of the effects that it's had. So I think it is something that we need to pay attention to and get the answers to those questions when that issue arises.
All right. With that, I'm going to suggest we take a break, reconvene at 10:40.
Thank you very much. We're back in session. Madam Clerk, would you introduce our next item, please?
Item number 15, submittal of the fiscal year 2012-2013 year-end financial status report.
Thank you. Ms. Schmidt, good to see you again.
Okay. I'm working on that. I'm working on it. Good morning. I am again Nikki Schmidt of the County Administrative Office, and I am here to present the fiscal year 2012-13 year-end report. The staff report included not only an update of the financial status for the fiscal year, which ended June 30th, but also includes an updated capital and maintenance projects report and departmental performance measures final results. Fiscal year 12-13 was the fifth year of 14. In total, there was $8 million in general fund savings due to a combination of salary savings, reduction in services and supplies, and accounts, and unanticipated revenue. Non-departmental revenue exceeded budget amounts by approximately $12 million. This is primarily due to the sales tax revenue generated by the sales, by the solar construction plants out in California Valley. This revenue is considered one time only and is not considered for use of funding on ongoing operations. All general fund departments ended the year with savings. This slide lists six departments that had the largest dollar savings at the year end. In total, nine departments had general fund savings of $200,000 or more. The financial report on page 4 includes a chart which provides more details in saving achieved by departments. As noted earlier, general fund savings was achieved through a combination of things. Some departments received unanticipated revenue, which contributed to their positive bottom line. For example, the 1/2 cent sales tax revenue, known as Prop 172, ended the year 8% or $1.5 million higher than budget. This unbudgeted revenue contributed to positive year-end outcomes for the four public safety departments that received this revenue. The biggest impact being felt in the sheriff's office, which is allocated 2/3 of this revenue each year. Salary savings, whether it be staff vacancies, hiring chill, hiring at lower levels, or the use of voluntary time off, also contributed to the savings. The county staff vacancy rate at the end of the year was 5.45, or 133.5 positions. This is consistent with the prior year. Departments also controlled spendings in their services and supplies accounts. As reported to your board in the third quarter financial report, it was anticipated that the budgets for public defender, foster care, and general assistance would exceed their fiscal year 12-13 adopted levels. So as part of your board's third quarter action, budget adjustment for all three fund centers were approved. These adjustments were sufficient for these fund centers to meet or be slightly under budget at year-end. The year-end brings some good news for the airport. It had been anticipated that the airport would have to use some of its cash to cover expenses. However, at year-end, revenue exceeded expenditures by approximately $139,000, and this was achieved by deferring some expenditures and a refund of overpaid water charges from the City of San Luis Obispo. Employments were down approximately 1% when compared to fiscal year 11-12. However, as has been reported previously, decline is associated with the first two quarters of the fiscal year. The last two quarters show an increase when compared to the same time period in fiscal year 11-12. Despite the 1% increase, it should be noted that this improvement is an improvement over the 4% decrease of 11-12-13. It was also reported in the third quarter that behavioral health was facing an unfunded liability of approximately $2 million due to federal overpayments of Medi-Cal claims for services to adults. At the year end, this unfunded liability did increase by approximately $1.4 million to $3.5 million, primarily as the result of overpayments to Medi-Cal services to youth. Your board approved increasing the liability trust account by $500,000 through your board's approval of the auditor's year-end recommendations this morning. This will reduce the unfunded liability to approximately $3 million. There are sufficient funds in the trust currently to cover any repayment that needs to be made in fiscal year 13-14. The expected unfunded liability in 14-15 is approximately $500,000, but a more significant bill is expected to come due in fiscal year 15-16 of approximately $2 million. The health agency continues to develop solutions to this problem over the next few years. The year-end report also includes the actual performance measure results for fiscal year 12-13. The county's results-based decision-making initiative is a tool used to identify performance measures that help to link government activities and spending to results that benefit the community. And as you can see from this slide, there are a total of 221 performance measures that departments use to monitor the results of their operations. The majority of measures for which data was available were met or exceeded. There are several factors that come into play that can impact a department's performance, including the use of technology, changes in the methodology of determining a result, such as a change in a rating scale for a customer satisfaction survey study, or new state or federal regulation offenses. The department provides comprehensive supervision, targeted services, and resources to these offenders based upon a risk and needs a needs assessment that's identified through screening. In fiscal year 12-13, the first full year of supervision for this new population, only 3%, that would be 5 out of 170 of these offenders received a new prison sentence. This is compared to the rate of 15% for state parole in 2010, which was the last year before AB 109 realignment went into effect. And Rhodes has two measures that relate to the number of collisions on county roads. And while the county has no control over how its citizens drive, the improving signage, striping, and adjusting traffic signals contribute to the overall decrease in the number of collisions on both rural and suburban roads. For example, for rural roads, report results indicate there were 148 collisions per 100 million vehicle miles traveled in fiscal year 12-13. And this equates to a 10% decrease when compared to 164 in fiscal year 11-12. This rate remains below the statewide average of 15%, statewide average of 180 collisions per 100 million vehicle miles traveled. Try to say that quickly. And so it is recommended that your board receive and file the fiscal year 12-13 year-end. Sorry, I got so enthused with my report. It is recommended that your board receive and file the fiscal year 12-13 year-end financial report and approve by 4/5 votes recommendations 2 through 9 on page 2 of the staff report and as summarized on this slide. And that concludes my presentation.
Good.
And we're available to answer any questions you might have.
Well, let's go to Supervisor Meacham and see what he can, see what he actually can pose.
I'm sorry. I looked at these numbers and I thought that this discharge of bad debt said $40,232,000. I was going to say, please explain that. But I did. I was misread that.
That was from the state, I think.
It wasn't you. It was me.
Okay. All right. That one was easy. Any other questions of our esteemed staff? Seeing none. I don't have any requests to speak. So I will declare public comment on this item over, bring it back to the board. Mr. Hill and the CAO have their lights on.
Yeah, I was just going to just say a comment that I think our departments have done a really great job in their fiscal management, as I think is evident here and throughout the time, certainly, that I've been on the board through some rather difficult times. And I also think, once again, though I know we are in a variety of different labor negotiations, that our employees have been exceptionally helpful in these tough times and have stepped up, and everybody's sacrificed, and that's why we have, I think, a very strong financial position, not just relative to our area, but relative, I think, to other counties in the entire state. So I'm grateful to all of those involved.
Mr. Meacham?
Thank you, and it was just in a comment. I too, have been on the board the same time as Supervisor Hill, and we've gone through about 5 years of this seven-year pain plan. I think that we're turning a corner. We're just not quite there yet, but I think we're going to get there. So my appreciation goes out to staff and the appreciation of all the different bargaining groups to recognize that we're basically all in this together to figure out how we're going to get through it. Once we get through it and we see a clear daylight ahead, I think we'll be on pretty firm footing. But my compliments to everybody that was involved in this.
Ms. Arnold?
Yes, and as the new board member, I haven't been here as long as my colleagues, but I do want to thank all of the county employees that have contributed to this very positive year-end financial status report. So thank you.
Right. Comments, and I'll turn it over to our CAO. I thought the performance measure issue on the roads was an interesting one in the sense of little things making a significant difference, and that's a lot of what we do is this incremental improvement, which is important. I also did hear reference to the health agency's issues with reimbursements that they have to make to the state, and I know we're about to start our next cycle of budgeting in the not-too-distant future, and trust that we'll have a well-thought plan for dispatching that obligation we have, and, again, keeping our health agency on firm footing as we embark in some really interesting times as health care reform takes over. Mr. Buckshime?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just want to, reiterate a couple comments made by several of the board members in that I do think the departments did an outstanding job this past year in meeting our target.
Three of these action items are donations coming from folks to support various programs of the county, and I thank them for that generosity. With that, Madam Clerk.
Mr. Meacham?
Yes, ma'am.
Mr. Hill?
Yes.
Ms. Arnold?
Yes.
Mr. Gibson?
Yes. Thank you. Thanks to all staff who've been part of this process. As they troop, well, they're trooping off to do more of the fine work that they do, for which we are so grateful, I will ask Mr. Madam Clerk, can introduce our last item, please.
Item number 16, request board approval of findings to expend funds and enter into an agreement for the Inguido nuisance abatement, resolution number 2013-184, District 1.
Very good. Mr. Jansen?
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the board. I am Matt Jansen, a manager in the Planning and Building Department. This item came before you on July 23rd as a nuisance abatement, and we're here today to finally clean it up. I'll hand it over to Art.
Mr. Trinidad.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Art Trinidad, County Planning Building. No, I'm not Greg Kamek. He's on vacation again. If you recall, on the 23rd, he was on vacation as well. So this is the second pinch-hitting go.
You may have to follow him.
Yeah. As Mr. Jansen mentioned, July 23rd, your board did order an abatement of the nuisance which is occurring in Shandon. And the nuisance essentially is that it's an attractive nuisance. It's a house that, for all intents and purposes, has been abandoned in process of being constructed. Your board did order the abatement, ordered us to secure it, or actually ordered the respondent to secure it. And should the respondent not respond to the order, that the county does so. Well, sadly enough, here we are again. The respondent was notified. The property was posted the same day as the board order, and notice was sent to the respondent in Colorado, as well as what we believe to be the financial institution, too. Nevertheless, there has been no response, and the property still is vacant, still is unoccupied, and still is a mess and a neighborhood nuisance. So we're coming back to the board, more of a progress report. Just to tell you that and to say that we have taken the steps that the board has recommended, which is to entertain proposals to secure the property and to clean it up. I did give you an addendum, which is proposals that we've chosen to be the most cost-effective. They will fence three sides of the property with a rolling gate. The rear of the property is already fenced, so it will not be able to be accessed by the public, well, as best as we can do. The property will be cleaned up. The vehicles will be removed. The junk, garbage, and all that stuff that's been left there will be removed, and the house will be boarded up. One proposal is to actually maintain it. In other words, they will do biweekly inspections to make sure that there is still an intact property, and we'll continue from there. The department will be absorbing the cost of that, and of course, as we've mentioned before in the nuisance abatement hearing, when we come to some kind of conclusion as to whether this property has been resolved, or the abatement actually is successful and complete, we will bill the respondent for all our costs, including the administrative costs and our actual hard costs. If they fail to pay, it will be added to their real taxes, and one way or the other, PETA will be paid. So we're asking that your board adopt the findings on Exhibit A, which is the actual resolution, adopt the order to approve the expenditure of funds for abatement costs of the Planning and Building Department, Exhibit B of this report, and I'd be happy to entertain any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Trinidad. Mr. Meacham?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Art, I understand that it hasn't been foreclosed on at this point. Is that correct?
Yes, Mr. Meacham. There is no action at all. There's no initial notice, nothing at all.
If it were to be foreclosed upon, does this carry with that to the bank?
Yes, they have been notified. Every institution has been notified that we know of. But let's say they go ahead and sell their debt or sell their asset or whatever it is at this point. this notice of nuisance actually runs with the property.
Okay.
It does not affect the individual or individuals, so it will continue to run with the property.
And I have to say, I have to thank code enforcement for their patience through this whole thing. This has been a long, long process and one that made the whole community pretty nervous, but I appreciate all your efforts on this.
Certainly.
Very good. Seeing no other questions, I will open it to public comment, but have no requests to speak, so I will close it to public comment, bring it back to the board for action.
I'll move staff's recommendation, please.
Second.
Thank you, Mr. Meacham and Mr. Hill. Without further discussion, Madam Clerk, a roll call, please.
Environment doesn't apply to me. They can leave a hole open, and if none of their guys get hurt, but I get hurt, you do have responsibility. The county has a responsibility that the work is safe for all. I wanted to then speak to item B2. I'm at a disadvantage. There's no staff report. There never is for closed session. But similarly, Mr. Ogren said there was no staff report for the Los Osos CSD and their letter to the Water Board. The Los Osos CSD is your partner in the interlocutory stipulated judgment. Dewatering.
I'm going to ask you to stick to closed session potential items.
Potential significant exposure to litigation, Mr. Gibson.
That's fine. I want you to be on topic, please.
I am. And as a partner, the Los Osos CSD is managing the groundwater basin with you, the county. And the county is mismanaging the groundwater basin by taking that dewatering water and throwing it away, discharging it to the bay. Now, you suggested to Mr. Ogren that there was no potential risk to the water supply. Indeed, where the benefit lies is in the reuse of that water, in bringing that water to each storm water retention basin to percolate again for a second chance at recharging that groundwater basin so that we can use that water in the future. That's the exposure that I see. Additionally, this project has been exposed to notices of violation for the Regional Water Quality Control Board. They could act in this regard. The Air Pollution Control District has acted, filing notices of violation. Fines have been paid by contractors. This project has you exposed. And because I don't know the specifics of what's on your agenda, I am speaking specifically to Los Osos items because I know them best.
That was our only request to speak, so we'll close public comment. Madam Counsel.
Yes, Rita Neal, County Counsel. Closed session should take about 20 minutes today.
And what we will do is do closed session, be back here in approximately 20 minutes to report out, and that will be the end of the meeting today. Our friends at AGP.
are done for the day. We'll be back.